Matthew chapter 24, please. I'm going to preach two messages to you, Lord willing, today here on Matthew chapter 24. And the specifics of them are not really to deal with pre-trib, post-trib timeline of events or, you know, trying to do that. Really, I want to talk to you about, the first one is going to be called The Times Before His Return. And I want to talk to you about the times before his return. These are the times that we live in now and the times before his return. And then this afternoon, I want to preach a message to you called End Times Attitudes. I want to deal with that a little bit. So the Lord gave me the other day, I don't remember which day it was. They all run together. But the other day, I was sitting there, and in my Bible, I came to Matthew 24. And I just sat down, and everything was just outlined so well that I just kept going, and I got two sermons out of it. Actually, three, because I want to talk to you about one time, Christ, his actual coming. But these two are going to be for this, and then we'll have another one. And these could be broken down even more, but that's not the point of it. I want to give you some ideas here today. I want you to understand some things from the Word of God here. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" One question. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Second question. "And of the end of the world?" Third question. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be soon troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." We're going to stop right there and pray, and then we're going to talk about the times before his return and what those times are like. And then later on today, we'll deal with the attitudes, proper attitudes and improper attitudes in the end times. Father, Lord, please work the only work that you can do, Lord. All I can do is speak, but the Spirit of God must move, Lord, and I pray that you would hear in the hearts of people today, burn in us, Lord, the truth. Teach us, Lord, strengthen us, edify us, Lord, correct us, instruct us in righteousness. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. So these times are marked. What are the times before his return? Jesus answers very plainly, and he says here that the times of spiritual deception, number one, they are times of deception. The very doctrine of Christ will be perverted. These are the times that we live in. To identify the Christ of the Bible is of the utmost importance. That's why preaching the doctrine of Christ today is so vitally important. Getting back to the basics of people understanding who Christ is. And I mean, when I say Christ, the Christ of the Bible, the one that we find in the scriptures, that we understand his attributes, that we understand who he is, that we understand everything about him as much as we can from a human perspective led by the Spirit of God. But the very doctrine of Christ will be perverted, and we see it today. We see it being perverted today. He says to warn us, let no man deceive you. That's the warning. Let no man deceive you. Now, we hear this warning again. Put your finger in your Bible there and go to 2 Thessalonians, because the warning is given over here again to us to understand. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says this, he says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter is from us that the day of Christ is at hand. So there's in these end times, there's going to be a time of deceit and a time of shaking and a time of people being shaken out. I believe some are shaken out into everlasting destruction. I believe some are just shaken up and they get right with God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a time of shaking. God's going to shake out what's not his that are on those trees, and he's going to get the bad fruit out of there. That's what the Lord's going to do, and that's what he's doing now. He's proving strong doctrine is hated today. It always has been and always will be. We will never woo the world by becoming the world, but we must give them the Christ of the Bible. We must preach the Jesus of the Bible. And you must not try to create one in your own pocket, made after your own image and your own likeness to make you happy, to make your life comfortable. It is not comfortable to be a Christian. It never will be. Let me help you with that. I'm going to help you with that right now. If it's comfortable for you to be a Christian, you're about to get shaken up a little bit. Because it isn't going to be comfortable to be a Christian. It never was. It never will be. Not to stand for the faith once delivered unto the saints is not going to be comfortable in this world that we live in. It isn't supposed to be. This world is antichrist. These are the times before his return. You know, we see here that he said, let no man deceive you by any means. Any means. No matter what the means are. Let no man deceive you. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, we know that. I think part of the deception is going to be possibly the timing of the rapture. I think that can be a deception. I think today with the rise of virtual reality, with the satanic things that are going on with all of those things and the slide towards that, deception is going to be marked. When we see these times, we're not deceived. And I'm going to preach a message sometime on this. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to. I got to thinking about that word a little bit, transformation, the other day. And I got to thinking about that as transgenders and about transformation. And the more I think about it, the more I am absolutely convinced that those two words are to be connected for a reason. They are connected for a reason. Because look what's going on right now. What is happening in our society? And I don't have time to stay on this. I gotta get off, shoot the rabbit and get back on the road. But listen to me here. Think about this for a second, and we'll pick it up later sometime. But think about this. What are they doing to the world, and the world is falling for it? They are fundamentally transforming what a family is, what a man is, what a woman is, right before your eyes. They are fundamentally, how do they do that? By the power of Satan. That's how they do it. That's how they do it. And they are trying to make it a virtuous thing. Do you see that? Pay attention. Get out of your own stupid little world for a minute and look at life and look what's really going on out there. And understand that Satan is fundamentally transforming society right before our eyes. And that's the spirit that's there. And you can see it plain as day. And they're doing it. And who's not fooled? Who's not fooled? Are you fooled? Look, what are we doing? We're waving our hands and saying, what's wrong with you people? You're insane. That's not a man. That's not really a man. That's not really a woman. You can't be whatever you want to be. What's the matter with you people? Who's doing that? Just the Christians. Everybody else is too scared. Everybody is kowtowing to the LGBTQRSTUPSDYNG, whatever the numbers are. They're going to keep adding them. They're going to keep adding them. Because they're a bunch of, never mind. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, I'll keep going. But they're going to keep at, why? Because they're fundamentally transforming society. They're doing it by the power of Satan. I'm telling you, you're seeing witchcraft right before your eyes. You are watching it, and I'm not deceived by it. I see it very plainly what's going on. That's exactly what it is witchcraft, because all the world is falling for it. They're rewriting books. The Boy Scouts are the Scouts and bankrupt. The all of these other groups and everything are being completely changed. No, boys can have female cycles, and that's all I'm going to go into that. But you see the articles about that? We looked at that this week. All of those things. Why is that? Because they're transforming it. Okay, I got to stop because I want to keep going with that, and I don't want to stop with that because there's so many things I could say, but I'm going to save that. But these are the times we live in, and it's the power of Satan, and we need to stand up with the power of God and use our voices and be very clear. So be not deceived. These are times of deception. That's what they are. The times are going to be riddled with deception. Having had a peace and understanding of what Satan can do with somebody and how he can deceive people, I understand better more than ever now. But we'll talk about that when we deal with end times attitudes. But part of the deception may be the timing of his coming. But what signs need to take place? We are already told. What signs are they? The falling away. What is the falling away? The apostasy. The final rejection of who Jesus Christ is, the transformation of another Christ who they are bringing on, that is the apostasy. The falling away must take place first. It is a falling away. And we're seeing it. Mainline religions falling away. Mainline faiths that have been preached falling away. Mainline denominations falling away before our eyes. Transforming, changing everything. Falling away. And who else? And the man of sin, the son of perdition, must be revealed. He's got to come on the scene before that day should come. Jesus said that many would come in his name, didn't he? He said in verse 5, let's look at verse 5. He said, take heed in verse 4 that no man deceive you. Now, what does that tell you, Brother Aaron? That tells you that many are going to try. That's what it tells you. You got to look at what the Bible says and what it doesn't say sometimes, too. Okay, because God will tell you the negative, what's being said here. There's a positive, there's a negative there. What's he saying there? There's going to be a lot of people trying to deceive you. In your churches, they're going to be there. That's right, men and women. Let no man deceive you by any means. Paul said that. Jesus said that. Jesus said in verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. The audacity of evil, right? The ultimate in the Antichrist to say, you better shut that door, that I am Christ. That's what they're doing. There's guys out there doing it right now. There's some black dude out there right now doing it. He's pimping all these women out, and he's running around with all these, he's got all this money and everything. He's saying he's Christ. And they're like, oh, yeah, he is. He's a prophet. He's a prophet of hell, all right. Many shall come in his name, representing Christ. It's not only that they will come in his name, but they will represent him. They will give a representation of Christianity that is not according to the scriptures. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Many liars, many phonies. Jesus marks the times with that. He says, be careful, that's going to happen. He says next, those times before his return are going to be marked by what? And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Wars and rumors of wars. Are we not there? I mean, we're in like six of them or seven of them, whatever, all the time. Wars around the world, right? And rumors of wars around the world. And then you have a president that says, okay, and I'm not a Trump supporter, but you have a president that says, okay, I'm going to bring some troops home. Man, the whole military-industrial complex is ready to lose it. They are absolutely ready to lose their mind because they can't kill more brown people in the sand. Because they're a threat over there. We got to fight them over there. Why? We got enough to fight them here. It's not about that. What, right, yeah. We pay for them over here, but we kill them over there. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, it doesn't. It's satanic. It's not supposed to make sense. That's what it's all about. That's the whole point of it. That's Satan's whole plan, just to kill people. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants people to die. He wants them to die and go to hell. That's his plan. He doesn't care how they die and go to hell. He just wants them to die and go to hell. He's a murderer. And the spirit behind that is murder. Be not soon troubled, nor be shaken in mind. Nation shall rise against nation, right? He said that. He said, why? Well, he's saying be not troubled because there's a good chance you're going to be at times. You're going to be troubled in mind over everything that you see. Can't be that way. Jesus is telling you, I'm telling you this so you're not, he said. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. What, we just have volcanoes that are erupting? You have earthquakes that are happening, tsunamis that are happening everywhere. Why? Because that's the times we live in. Also, we see times of this national instability. You can't trust that the nation will not destroy themselves. These nations, they're power hungry. Right? They're power hungry nations. Right? Verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. What are they saying now to the Christians? Look, it's you Christians that are standing in the way of progress. If you would just get out of our way and stop opposing transgenders and tell Tommy he's a girl if he wants to be, if you just stop preaching that book of yours and you just get on board of evolution right now, if you just join the evolution train here, if you just jump on it, if you just hop on, let society evolve the way it does. Otherwise, evolution's just going to have to push you out. Right? We can't evolve. You're standing in the way of progress. That's what they say, right? That's what they believe. And we are. We are always going to stand in the way of their evil. Verse number 10 says, And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. You know, these are sad times of betrayal. These are the days we live in now, but they are ever going to be progressing. Professors will turn on one another and turn on the true children of God. Listen to me. When these times come to their height, I want to tell you something. I'm going to warn you about something. Your relatives that are not saved, they'll hand you over to that beast system and destroy you in a second. If God allows them to. They'll hand you right over. You think somebody will? You think some paternal or maternal love will stop the flow of Antichrist through their veins once they give themselves over to Satan? Do you really think that? Did it ever? Did it for the Waldensians? Did it for the Lollards? Did it for any of those people? Did it for the Jews? No. No. It didn't, did it? They killed their own. They turned their own in. Do you understand that? They are sad times of betrayal and more to come. Your relatives that are not saved. Listen, you children here, you remember what? You better get saved. I want you to get saved. Get saved today. So then you're not one that gives another over to Antichrist. These are times of deceit and deception that will deceive you. Today, if you are not saved, you children who know you are sinners, who know you are guilty before God, if you are not saved, you may be the ones that turn your own parents over to the Antichrist beast system. You know, that is a real possibility. Do you understand that? So you're trying to make me afraid. Well, sort of. I hope it's working. I really don't apologize for that. Well, you're one of the fear people. Yeah, I am. You don't like it? Tough. I don't care if you like it. I ain't preaching it because you like it. I'm preaching because God said it in his word. And I'm going to tell you what. He said that you're going to be betrayed. And you're going to be turned on. And you don't like it because your heart's not right with God. How about that? How do you like that? How do you like that? When you don't like God's word, it's because your heart's not right with God. That's what it is. I'll make it real simple for you. I'll put the crackers on the lower shelf so you can reach them. I'm going to make it simple for you. So you preaching to me? Yeah, I sure am. I'm looking at you, ain't I? Amen. I'm trying to wake you up to understand the times that you're facing and where you're headed. And if you don't wake up, if you don't wake up and see this, You're going to be deceived. You young children, you have an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God and give your heart to Christ now. If you think you won't fall for the deception of Antichrist, if you know your sin, if you know you're a sinner, if you know you're guilty before God, if you know you are a fallen creature, if you know that you need to be forgiven of your sins and cleansed of your unrighteousness, if you know Jesus has the power to save your soul and to make you a new creature, you better run to the cross. You better run to Jesus and get saved. That's what you better do. You better quit your stubborn, foolish pride. I don't care if you're 18 or 80. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. Amen. Woo. Getting a little quiet, huh? That's good, though. I like it quiet because you're thinking. I want you to think. I'm preaching it so you think. You're most likely to fall for that religious deception, having known the truth and not following it, not submitting to Christ. Don't you understand? The Antichrist church is filled with former professors that never got saved. They're religious people. Yeah, yeah. Listen to all they said. I used to be a bat. Well, you weren't ever saved. Because you ain't never used to be. You are. Right. Yeah. You ain't never used to be. You are. I used to be a sinner, but I got saved by the grace of God, and he changed me and washed me in his own blood, and he can do the same for you. And you better run to that. You better run to that. Run to the cross. Terrible times that will come over the whole earth. False prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, it says in verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Days of deceit. Right? Look closely. Jesus has still not come back at this point. That's how you'll be able to cut the deception in the air with a knife when Jesus comes back. That's why God is making, that's why we need to make this Bible, when we preach it, so plain, so straight, so practical that you understand it completely. Why? Because I don't want your children to have to read between the lines in what I say. No, don't read. No, there's no hidden message here. There's no esoteric message here. There's no goofy hand signs here. There's none of that stupid stuff. What there is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent ye therefore and be converted so your sins may be blotted out. That's the gospel that we preach. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Ghost of God changing you and making you a new creature in Christ Jesus. So you want to serve God. So you actually enjoy yourself in the house of God, in the service of the King. Amen? So you give your life to Christ now and don't waste it and squander it away. Squander the one talent that you have. The one thing that God has given you right now is your life, and it is so precious, and the time that you have. And if you take and you throw away the most precious years of your life and you squander it in the world, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life and possibly all of eternity. Better run to the cross. I know full well how crafty Satan is. Not the depths of it, thank God. And how he can deceive men with a righteous cause, but not be the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. It's not hard to understand how he will deceive the whole world. He'll deceive the whole world. I mean, look, the whole world is falling for everything now. Like putty in the hands of the of Satan to just play with. And that's what he's doing. He's got them on a roller coaster of everything. The LGBT movement, all of it there. And worldliness and everything. It's just all there. It's all plain as day. Don't you trust your precious Republican Party. They're a bunch of sellout, homosexual, perverted, LGBTQ perverts to the fifth power. That's exactly what they are, a bunch of baby killers that won't defund Planned Parenthood because they're a bunch of murdering Satanists is what they are. Don't you tell me any different. You got a president with the power of a pen. You got a Congress with the power of the pen. You had all of them with the power of the pen, and what did they do? Nothing, because they're liars. They're liars. and you put your stock in them, and you're going to find you're going to be sorrowful. You better put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ every day of your life. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you that are saved, you better put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ every day for everything, because this government one day is going to fall for the Antichrist completely. But look closely, he's still not returned at this point. Look at verse 12. After the false prophets rise and deceive many, and they fill the land with false doctrine, false Christs, CCM worldly music, bunch of, what I see this week, what's her name? What's that Duck Dynasty? Sadie Roberts, whatever her name is. Grandpa Duck's granddaughter, whatever. Scrooge McDuck's granddaughter. She's out there, and she's up on some church stage, and she's preaching. That's what they call it, preaching. And like, oh, and like that, and that's how she's talking. And all these people are like, hoorah, and thinking it's great. And she's holding her purple Bible, and she's got it bent up, and she's sitting there, and she's telling them stories about how she was running some race and all this other stuff. And it's just a bunch of nonsense and garbage and ridiculous. But you know what? This world of fake and phony false prophets that look. You know what's happened? All this nonsense, and I can't stay on this because I'm going to preach this afternoon. But all this nonsense, all that it's led to. Do you know what it's led to? It's led to weak Christians. They're anemic. You know, yeah, they don't. They don't know the God of the... there's some saved people out there, listen to me, that they don't understand the nature of God. They don't understand who he is. And... I believe that those that are saved are not going to be deceived in the end. They're going to be tried and they're going to fall, but they're going to be hoping up. God's going to help them up because they are real. They'll learn to fear God. See, it says that the flatteries is what takes them. Oh, that can happen. Flatteries can take you. Oh, this world loves to flatter you. He loves to flatter preachers too. I can usually smell it now. It stinks. It makes me sick. I can smell it. Ugh, it's like sulfur. Just, ugh. When somebody does it, I'm just like, ugh. And then I know that they're going to turn on me, and I just like count it, and I watch, and then like, there it is. Say one thing, and then there they go. They just blast off, and they lose their mind. Yeah, you can just watch it. Some young lady on my Facebook page, I watched her do it. Sir this and sir that and sir this and sir that. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder who this lady is. Watch this. Boom! Times of deception. Days of deceit. But look at what he says here. After these many false prophets arise and they deceive and they're ready for the Antichrist. The religious world is being prepared for the Antichrist right now. But look at this. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Are not our times sad? Are they not the most wicked times we have ever heard of? To see the fornication and the sorcery, the drugs, the liquor, the abuse, the lies, the perversions of death and evil. Scarcely can we look at the news and see such awful and terrible crimes against men, women, and children. It's rampant, terrible, iniquity abounding. Right? Daniel 8:23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Right? Right, exactly. And that's what they're doing, though. Do you see it? When the transgressions have filled the land, when wickedness has filled the world, when it is ready and it is ripe, then guess what it does to the saints of God? Now listen, you got to be careful, because on the natural man, it's going to make them go completely cold. Why? Because you're throwing it in his face all the time. I would encourage you not to investigate too much of evil. I would encourage you just to stay away from it. Yep. Don't read too much into it. I'm very careful now when I talk about some articles and some things. I don't do it from the pulpit anymore. But when I do some things out there for people, you know, for people to hear and things like that, I'm very careful. Very careful, very cautious. Because it poisons the mind, too much of it. Too much of it's not good. It'll give you an evil conscience, evil surmising. It will give you a spirit of paranoia. It'll tear you up. And you have to live with that for the rest of your life. It's very hard to live with. Very hard. It's not good. It's not good to delve into those things too much. God wants us to be simple concerning evil. You don't need an expose of evil. Evil's evil. Learn Christ. Do an exposition of him. You don't need to do an anatomy lesson in evil or a physiology lesson of evil. You got enough of it. You better learn Christ. Learn who he is. Learn of him. Study him. Know him and the power of his resurrection. And evil shall not touch you. No, it won't come nigh to thy gates. That's right. But you know what? The wickedness is designed to make them cold. Right? It's to make them cold. Revelation 9:21 says, in the end times, in these times, neither repented they of their murders nor their sorceries. Look at what do we have? Nation killing 60 million babies. No repentance. No repentance. No sorrow in the nation. Right. Right? Neither they repented they of their murders nor their sorceries. What's that? That's their meds. Trump comes out, we have an opiate epidemic. Well, sure we do. We've been drugging people for years. The CIA started a long time ago. Now we're just continuing on with it. Now it's mainstream. Mainstream from the cradle to the grave. Got to get them hooked on drugs. Get them hooked on opiates. Yeah, you get them hooked on all these drugs, all these psychotropics, all these drugs they're hooked on. These kids are from the youth, from the cradle to the grave. They're hooked on all those things. Why? Because they're doing a kind of like a virtual lobotomy. Does that make sense? Yeah, chemical, thank you. And then the internet is the virtual. Do you understand? When you put the two together, well, you got the AI and you got the Antichrist. All you're waiting for is the right chip to make it all work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, yep, to use it. Yep, the spirit of Antichrist, right? That's coming. They're being set up for it. It's time. These are the times before his coming. Drugs that alter the state of mind. And the fornication that runs rampant. It's not going to be hard to get a doped up, virtual, lobotomized zombie to do whatever the Antichrist wants. Not at all. Mesmerizing power. These perfect nerds will be transformed into whatever they want to be. Right? They will. They just will. Thieves. Government stealing from people, living like kings while people struggle to make it. Times of iniquity abounding. Look what it says here, though, because of the iniquity. The love of many shall wax cold. Love will wax cold. It will harden. The hearts of Christians will get hardened. Listen to me. We must beg God for souls. We must beg God for converts. We must beg God to see the plights of the plight of the lost. We must beg God for grace, for patience, to stir us up in our hearts for these people that are dying and going to hell. We've got to begin to have our hearts stirred again for that. We've got to have God do that work in our hearts, that it's not so easy for us not to pray for our neighbor to be saved, not to tell our neighbor about Jesus Christ, not to tell the people that we work with about Jesus Christ, not to tell the people why we stand the way we do and what we stand for. We can't be afraid of that, but when our hearts get cold, we won't want to. You won't want anybody to know how, oh, you're that one of those type of people. Yes, I am. And you ought to be too. You ought to be too. We must not let our hearts get cold. And I don't believe God will let the souls of his people get too cold, because God will then try us in the fires of affliction. When your heart gets cold, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ain't there yet and your heart is cold to the things of God, you are about, if you are his child, you are about to go to the furnace. You're going to get melted. I'm telling you, when your affections for God cool, when your affections for the lost, when your compassion starts to cool, God will not allow it. for very long. He will stick you in the furnace, and he will begin to burn off the dross. He will take the pleasures of this life away from you, and you will not enjoy them. And he will perfect you, and he will burn off the dross of imperfection and coldness in your life. I'm not gonna stay on that, because I'm gonna talk about that this afternoon a little more. But listen to me, that's what God is gonna do. We are to be the salt of the earth. Do you understand that? You're to be the salt of the earth. How salty are you? How much do you preserve truth and preserve the society from corruption? How much does your life do that? How much does your walk do that? Is your salt good for nothing? Has the salt lost its savor? I think not. God is able to make you salty. He will put you in the furnace, and he will heat you up one 7 times hotter. When I see the children of God become cold, when I see them start to become cold to the things of God, I know that if they are his, he is going to heat them up. And chances are, I will get a phone call, get a meeting, get something with somebody who is in dire straits because God has done something in their life, who is in the furnace of affliction. And they need prayer. And they are hurting. And they are in spiritual bondage or trouble with something. I don't mean permanent bondage, but they're having problems. They're afraid. The Lord has taken something from them, or God is dealing with them in a certain area, or God is allowing something in their life to happen to try them. And he will. Because the love of many shall wax cold in God. You better pray that God does that in your heart. You better pray God does that. You better pray that God burns that. You better pray that God heats that one 7 times hotter. We must be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Our lives must be that. Luke 21:26. They are times of fear. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Times of fear. God's people will go through fear. You'll have fear sometimes. You'll have extreme amounts of anxiety or fear at sometimes, different times of your life, different times of your spiritual walk. You can be in fear, but never forget to take it to the Lord. We are not of the world. We do not fear. Our hope is not built on this world. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Right? Right? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Right? I don't trust my sweet, warm feelings all the time, because I don't have them all the time. And when I do have them, I better not trust in those either. I better trust in Christ. I better not trust my sweet frame that I have, but I better trust on Jesus' name. I like it when feelings go good. Beck, I really do. I like it when I have good feelings. I do. Dave, you like that when you have good feelings, don't you? Yeah. But I can't trust that. See, in life, all of those things will change, but Christ stays the same. That's why he's the rock. Fearful times of anxiety, and all these people you see in the world doped up, popping pills to survive while they will be fearful times for sure. How about you see these movie stars and musicians, stock market crashes, suicide skyrocketing, iniquity abounds, no one loves anyone anymore. Out there, all the natural love is nearly gone in the world today. I know there's still some out there. But if this electronic age can separate us from real compassionate relationships, then will there be any love left? You know what we need to do? Put this down more. And talk. Talk to each other. There ain't nobody on the other end of this in that virtual land that you need to talk to more than the people that are in front of you. Amen. We need to, when we're with our families, when we're with our church, we're together, we ought to leave those things aside and not pay too much attention to those things. We ought to pay attention to one another. Amen. That should not be a filter for our children to talk through to get to us. Amen. No, we should be talking to them more. We should be spending more time with them. But our love burns hot. We love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's what God's children are supposed to do, to keep their compassion, their love for one another. Then it says here, we must endure to the end. What does that mean? It means endure afflictions, endure temptations, endure the times of sin, the perilous times, for God will deliver us out of them, and we shall be saved from them or through them. Verse 13 says, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Saved from what? The time. I don't believe that's speaking of eternal life. That's talking about saved from the times. Saved from the times that we live in. Delivered from them or through them. Do you understand that? The gospel is not enduring to the end to be saved. Right? No, that's talking about the flesh. He's talking about the times that are short, the days are shortened. Yeah, it's not talking about your eternal life. If you endure, you'll be saved. No, God's people do endure because they are saved. Are we not in those times now? Is God not using the internet to preach the whole world? Look at verse 14. I'm sorry, I missed that. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Look. Is it not being preached everywhere through the internet? They're putting Wi-Fi in tribes all over the world, in remote places all over the world. Why? They're linking the whole world up. Now, they're doing it for Antichrist, but God's using it to preach the gospel to people. Like Pastor Hoggard said, they preached the gospel to those people in India, and they fed 675 families for a week, I think it was, for a week last week. You should have seen all the haters coming on there and going after him. No, because they're getting the gospel and they're actually their temporal needs are being taken care of too. Somebody's actually feeding them, being kind to them, showing love to them. You know, I got to looking at a list of countries that my own sermons have been and went to. 50 states and nearly 80 countries. Preaching of the gospel goes throughout the whole world. We're seeing it now. Are we not on the cusp of his coming? What does he say? And then shall the end come. Right? Then shall the end come. These are times of apostasy, the great departure from the faith. 1 Timothy. Chapter number 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's these times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Yep. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in good in the words of faith and of a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. God says, preach those things to them, tell them, warn them. Warn them of the times they live in. That's what he said. What does it say about that? It says, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Amen. For this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Amen. Do we not see these mainline religions redefining marriage, the building of the third temple, the rise of transgenderism, all the world that was set down, all the order that was set down before the world being changed to a new world order? That's the new world order. It's not just the political structure. It's the complete reordering of all things. Do you understand that? Now, where is your mind shaped? Is it shaped to accept the book or to accept the world? Right? The apostasy ushers in the Antichrist. It makes his path straight. The abomination that maketh desolate sitting in the temple. It's 2 Thessalonians. Go back there. Chapter 2. Verse number 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, and the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not, listen kids, listen young people, listen you that aren't saved, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Strong delusion. That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. That word damned, it means eternally damned and condemned in the lake of fire. Remembering and rehearsing for your entire eternity the messages you heard, the warnings you were given, the pleadings you were given, and nothing you can do about it. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These times are perilous times in 1 Timothy chapter 3. These times before his return. I think it's 2 Timothy, maybe. Sorry about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, same times being spoken of. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous means dangerous. Terrible, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It marks the times here. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Let me ask you, who is on your mind, and what is on your mind daily? Is it Christ? Or is it pleasures of this world? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. having a form of godliness. That's why the times are so dangerous, because they'll have the form of godliness. But denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. I've met a few of those. Led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That describes about 75% of Christianity on the internet. No church is good enough for them. So they'll teach themselves out there, and they chase every rabbit they can find. And they spend their days chasing rabbits and never catch them. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Janes and Jambres, they were witches. They were sorcerers. They were magicians. So they used religion to deceive. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived, deceiving and being deceived. But in these times, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Don't let anything shake you, not your fears, not your doubt, not temptations, not attractions from the world, not anything at all. Just stay on the course, stay on the narrow way, and keep fighting the good fight of faith. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You children, listen. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. These are the times before Christ's return. Take them seriously. Understanding and having a good grasp of the times that we live in make us to be very fruitful. And I'm going to talk about those proper attitudes to have. But let me ask you, how are you living? For sin? For self? Or for the Savior? Which one? It is easy to live for self. It is easy to live for sin. What I want to know is, are you willing to live for the Savior? None of us perfectly do that. But we all ought to have the desire to. There ought to be a desire in your heart. You ought to see the vanity of life and what it really is. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while for us to see that. Sometimes the furnace has to get hotter for us to notice it. Sometimes our plans have to be destroyed. Sometimes God infuses reality into our vanity and makes us know the weakness of our flesh and the weakness of what we hold on to. This world is nothing to hold on to. It hates us. The struggle between the world, the flesh, and the devil are very strong. But God, in these end times, will strengthen his children. He does strengthen them. He does hold them up. He does want them to be devoted to him. And he is a jealous God. His name is Jealous. And for his children's own good, he wants them to walk with him. But if you are not his child, then you are already reckoned among the damned. Because you must be born again. You must be forgiven of your sins. You must be cleansed of your unrighteousness. There must have been a time when you saw your lost condition before God, when you saw how guilty you are before God. There must be that time. There must be that time when you've seen yourself as a sheep that has gone astray, that you've went your own way, and that God clearly showed you that you were not saved. I was religious for a while. I went to church when I was 25 years old. I went back to church. I was living a life of hell, and I had made a profession when I was like 4. I was living a life of hell out there in sorrow. I believe that God had his hand on me his my whole life, but for a reason. But God put his hand on me, and he touched me, and he sent me to the house of sorrow. He began to peel off the layers of my life and take everything away and strip me of everything and throw me into the house of God. Throw me to the Bible first. I spent many months reading. But then when my sorrow abased some, I went to the world again to try to find pleasure. And then I found it to not be very pleasurable. I found that sin was not very fun anymore. That I had something infused into my conscience that kept it from being fun to me. Even though I committed, it wasn't fun anymore. And the first time I had a chance to do evil, I did evil. I thought about that. And a few months went by. And you've heard the story before. That old preacher pointed his bony finger out. And he said the hottest spot in hell is reserved for that little Baptist church member that doesn't drop his pride. Admit that he was never saved by the grace of God. And guilty before God. And I thought about that as I left that night. And then I went home and I thought about it all the next day. And I had been able to clearly see that I did not remember a clear testimony of Jesus Christ saving my soul. It was not clear to me at all. None of it was clear. I said to myself, well, if something as much as salvation would be very clear to me, I would remember it very distinctly when that took place. That wouldn't be something I would wonder about. Not that you would never have doubts, but the fact that I didn't even remember coming to the Lord. You understand? I'm not trying to shake anybody's faith here. But the point is that I had not come to the Lord. And that's when the Lord began to show me. And then my wife had called me. She was my fiance then. She called me and she said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I think I'm lost. She said, well, I think you can do something about that now. And I waited a few hours and went and talked to the preacher, and he told me to come out to his house. I went out there, and I bowed my head. He said, I told him, I'm lost. And he goes, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, I want to get saved. And I bowed my head there and repented and put my faith and trust in Christ. And when I lifted up my head, tears began to flow, uncontrollable tears began to flow from my eyes. Because I knew I was forgiven. And I can tell you that Satan has tried to rob me of that many times, but he could never shake it because God's Spirit was put inside of me that day. And he saved me and washed me in his own blood. And he made me a new creature. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now then, let me ask you, your testimony will not be like mine. Your testimony will not be like any other preacher's or any other person's. Your testimony is unique to you. But there must have been a time. There must have been a time when Christ showed you how lost you were, when the law showed you that you're lost, you're without God. You were guilty. Guilty. You were the person that the preacher is preaching about, right? There must be that time when that occurred. There must be. If there has been, then rejoice and live for God and repent of your sin and cast off your wickedness and cast off your worldliness and cast off the pleasures of sin and cast off self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-love in that sense. Cast off your idolatry and live for God now. Don't wait. Now then, if you haven't, then what will you wait for? Death? Will you wait until hell? Will you wait until you open your eyes up in hell? What will you wait for? Don't be afraid to come to Christ. He is ever a lover of men's souls. And he will forgive your sin and he will pardon your iniquity. And he will give you life. And he will make you a new creature. And you will love his word and you will love his people. And you will walk with him and he will be your God. And he will save you out of all of your afflictions and all of your troubles. And then he will take you home one day to be with him. And an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into everlasting life. Don't be afraid. Only drop your pride. Only admit your lost condition. Only bow to the will of Jesus. Only surrender to him, and he will save your soul. He will change you. But if you wait, you may not get another chance. You are not promised one more day than the one you have now. You are not promised one more hour than the breath that you take now. The breath that you have now in your lungs, you are not promised another after it. You are not. You come to a fork in the road. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, then serve him. And as a saved person, you are come to the same fork in the road. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, then break off thy sins and serve him. Give up thy worldly lust and pleasures for a season. Turn away from your iniquity. Your heart is hardened. Vanity has filled your heart, and God will never let it stay there. Repent and soften your heart. God will soften your heart if you repent. But if you will not repent, you'll be tenderized, but it'll be with heat. And it may be a price that you pay dearly. When God has given you truth, walk ye in it. Don't ignore it. Follow it. Don't ignore it. Father, please search the heart of your people. Strengthen them. And Lord, if there be one lost, may they bow the knee today. May they bow the knee today and be saved. And Lord, I pray, Father, for their souls. I pray for the souls of these young people here. Lord, if there be some that hear that their hearts are hardened with sin, the deceitfulness of sin has hardened them a bit, and that the love of them has waxed cold, Father, tenderize their hearts. Burn it with love. Show them your love and your grace and your mercy and your kindness to correct them and teach them. Lord, let not one of them slip. Let not one of them fall. Only build them up and hold them up, Lord, and strengthen them. Correct them in measure, Lord. Correct your people, Lord. Brother Andrew, why don't you come and sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord? Let's sing that. Why don't you stand to your feet, please? Think about the words, please. I don't know what number it is, but we don't need a piano. He can sing. Just, do you know what number that is? Or can find it.
All right, 304. Let's all stand together. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Let's sing it together here. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Praise the Lord. If that don't get your heart, I don't know what will. Amen. That's just what the Lord ordered right there. Amen. Please think. Please. I care about your souls. I love you, every single one of you. And I've given my life to see that you have the truth. And I will continue to give my life to see that you have the truth until God takes the breath of life from me and I'm gone. But I want you to understand that you need to follow God's word. Surrender to him. Don't hold back. Don't hold back to God. I know some of you, God's dealing with you. I know he is. God deals with me every day. Every morning I go in that office and I sit in this book for hours upon hours. And I get here and I'm praying. God's dealing with my soul. All right? He's dealing with my heart. He's teaching me and he's molding me and he's making me into what he wants me to be. And it's painful sometimes, but it's worth it. Amen. You surrender to the Lord. Don't you hold back. Don't you hold anything. You'll never regret surrendering to God. You'll never regret it. Amen. But you'll always wish you'd have given him more. You'll always wish that in heaven. Amen. Father, Lord, please. Lord, I've done all I can do from this point. You must do the rest. I'm just a mouthpiece for you, Lord. I'm just an unprofitable servant for you, Lord. You do the rest, Lord. You do everything anyway, Lord. I just get up and speak. But Lord, may we love one another. May we love the lost. May we understand the times we live in, and may we be ever willing to lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. And Lord, may our children be willing to repent and believe the gospel. Oh God, make their hearts willing. Lord, you are sovereign over all. You are. And you can move the heart of kings. You can move the heart of people. Move hearts, Lord, like only you can. And we'll be sure to praise, honor, and glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thank Jesus for ever living to make intercession for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for all that you do. Bless this time we have together. May it be profitable in the Lord. May our speech be of Christ. May our conversation be of Christ. May our lives be filled with Christ. And may we not just so flippantly be able to move on to other subjects and topics. May we not so flippantly be done with the work that you've started and begun in your word, Lord. I believe your word will not come and return void, Lord, but it will accomplish that which it was sent out to do. Lord, strengthen, fill, use us, bless the food to our bodies. In Jesus' holy name we pray and ask it. Amen.